Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. A deal to extend unemployment benefits got a boost yesterday with a vote in the Senate, and that measure is expected to pass with a simple majority on Monday. Bill co-sponsor and New Jersey Democratic U.S. Senator Cory Booker joins me now to discuss this and other matters. Senator Booker, thanks for sitting down with us on Newsworks Tonight.
It's really good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, the measure authorizes retroactive payments for the now more than 2 million Americans affected when Congress let federal unemployment insurance expire in late December. It does enjoy bipartisan support in the Senate, but to what end? It's widely perceived that the House won't even take it up.
This was a hard-fought compromise. We were able to get five Republicans to come over, which ultimately resulted in some more eventually coming over for some of the procedural votes. But that said, you're right. The challenge is if we're going to get this out of the Senate and it's going to hit a wall in the House. But this isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. This economy and its recovery is a lot different than we've seen in other recessions and recoveries. And you have a terrible problem with long-term unemployment rates. It really is a bipartisan issue in terms of its effect.
Staying on topic with the economy and also affecting those with limited means, what's the latest on efforts to take up President Obama's call to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour?
Well, you know, I'm proud to be in a body that really set that number. The Senate leadership, as I was coming into the Senate 5 months ago, had said that that is the right level. And I agree with them because if you think about it, back when we first had a minimum wage decades ago, it was set to be above the poverty line. So if you worked a full-time job in America, you would be a little bit above the poverty line and could provide for your families. Well, that slipped. Since the minimum wage hasn't been raised since the 1990s, you see that the cost of living for so many families has gone up so much that if you make the minimum wage today, you're significantly below the poverty line. That's not what America should be about.
Of course, New Jersey voters went to the polls last year and raised the minimum there in the Garden State from 7.25 to 8.25. And that's part of a statewide trend. So I'm wondering the extent to which states are doing their own end around the intransigence in Washington.
Yeah, you do see that. You're seeing more and more state legislatures saying enough is enough. I just believe that everyone should be doing it. But right now it's not. It's sporadic amongst the states and not high enough. I mean, there's a mistake that many people think, oh, these are just young kids coming out of college. That's actually not true. Overwhelming majority of people that work the minimum wage are adults, many of them with children. The majority of them, significant majority of them, are women trying to provide for children as well. So we've got to do this to try to make sure that we have, again, everyone who works a full-time job not living in poverty. Because what you don't realize, many Americans don't realize this, is when they do live below the poverty line working a full-time job, who's making up that difference? It's taxpayers. Through things like food stamps and other programs, subsidizing the low wages of corporations and businesses.
Senator Booker, let's put all of this, though, in the context of this week's 5-4 U.S. Supreme Court McCutcheon versus Federal Election Commission decision. You know, perceptions become reality. And for many, this validates the notion that big donors have big influence, the unemployed Americans and those toiling for low wages less so.
Well, I see that in Washington. I've been down there 5 months and I've seen lobbyists, well-paid lobbyists, phalanx of lobbyists for large corporate interests who get tremendous tax loopholes and the like. And what we're seeing in America right now, in a very short period of time with the Supreme Court in successive cases, is erasing this idea that the voice of the average American should be heard in our democracy. Now we're saying that more and more corporations and large money interests can pour unlimited amounts of money into the system, thereby almost muting the average voices.
Senator, the summer season beckons, and for those for whom the Jersey Shore is a destination, what do you see as some of the unfinished business regarding Superstorm Sandy rehabilitation?
Well, that's the nature of many of these things, whether it was Katrina or floods in Colorado or the Superstorm Sandy, that some people seem to think as the months pass or a full year passes that the challenges are gone. Well, they're not in New Jersey. There are still many homeowners who are in crisis. And in fact, my first days in the Senate, those were my early meetings, is talking about where are the resources? Why haven't they hit so many homeowners in New Jersey? And then the second step for me also is working on what I call resiliency. As these storms are happening more and more often, I don't want us just to build back to what it was before. I want to see us to make sure that we are doing more than before to preserve property, to mitigate the effects of rising sea waters and increasing storms. There's so much of our industry in New Jersey, from our fisheries to our tourism to our local small businesses that benefit, especially during the summer, from tourism that we have to protect. And it means making sure you're getting those homeowners who are recovering supported, as well as doing what's necessary to prevent the next storm from being so damaging.
Though, at what point do we consider not investing in the status quo and allowing nature to take its course?
Well, again, there's in some ways, yes. And this is why programs that the federal government is doing, which is supporting the buying up homes in certain areas and letting them lie fallow and return to really where they were in the past and where they will be with rising sea waters, I support that. But when you look at a city like Atlantic City, and you see that the 50-year sea rise is going to endanger an entire city, that's a time where you have to start saying, okay, there's two things we've got to do. Is one, recognize warming is a problem, and humankind, is pushing that problem further. And we need, as a globe, to do more about dealing with climate change. And we need to start buffering those cities in responsible ways so that some of our key core industries don't get hit.
Take a moment. Tell us about the adjustment from being chief executive as mayor of Newark to U.S. junior senator from New Jersey.
Well, I always use a metaphor that I feel like as an executive, as a mayor, I was running on an Olympic track, just keep pushing forward, getting things done in Newark and the state's largest city. And now I feel like it's going from that to running in waist-deep water because ultimately we see this in Washington from the outside, all of us, is that, hey, there's a lot of partisan gridlock. There's a lot of posturing down there and not a lot getting done. And so I went down there with the idea that I'm going to keep a low profile as I get out of the blocks, connect with, actually sit down with a Republican. So I've gone everything from having office meetings with people like John McCain and Orrin Hatch to dinner meetings with people like Ted Cruz. And I always first start, it's who are you as a human being? Let's get to know each other. Because there's something about America, when we focus on our differences, we see differences. But when we focus on what we have in common, we begin to see our bonds.
Senator, given the ongoing diminished role of newspapers and this week's announced layoffs at the Star-Ledger, Times of Trenton, and the South Jersey Times, we hope you'll take advantage of this invitation to come back again soon on Newsworks Tonight.
Well, let's put it this way. As often as you'll have me, I look forward to coming back again and again, because at the end of the day, we were talking beforehand, a critical component of our democracy is not just voters and elected officials. It really is a robust media that keeps an eye on what's going on, keeps people informed. We see what are the first things in countries overseas where you see totalitarian leaders, what is the first things they go after, which is the news media. And so I enjoy these kind of conversations. I hope we continue to find ways to be more robust. But necessary to that is the listeners and their engagement, and I hope to stay engaged with them.